I'm here with Russ Jones. He's the principal search scientist at Moz. But before that, he used to work at Hive Digital, also known as Verante. And when he was there, they created new products. And so I was really curious to know, as an agency, how did they come about doing that? And what was his experience doing that, both good and bad, even if there are any interesting situations that happen. So welcome, Russ.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
I hear it's so it's snowing where you are.
Yeah. Well, the snow finally stopped. The kids had a blast while the parents freaked out about how we're going to handle childcare. You know how it goes.
Right. Exactly. Well, thank you for taking a moment to speak with me.
Oh, no, thank you. I get silenced now for at least 30 minutes to an hour. So this is.
Oh, well, then you're welcome. Yeah. Doing you a favor.
Yeah, you're essentially an excuse.
Awesome. Well, so tell me about the, when you were at Verante and then, you know, Hive Digital, what brought about some of the products you made? I think it's Entopic, Panda Risk is one, Penguin Analysis, Remove Them. How did that even come about?
Yeah, it's a great question. The first thing, a little bit about myself. So when I first joined Verante at the time, now Hive Digital, I was essentially a programmer and a web designer, and I knew very little about search engine optimization. So I very quickly cut my teeth in black hat SEO, learning how to script things.
Of course you did.
Script things to automate. Well, at the time, you could get away with it, or you could get away with a lot more. But it very much biased me from the beginning toward using software to improve sites as opposed to using manual labor. So that was kind of the culture that started off at Verante that kind of fed through everything we ultimately did. So following that, one of the biggest issues that agencies always come up with is, how do we get new customers or clients? And the way we attracted visitors to our site was free tools. We had a PageRank recovery tool for a while that basically looked up in the old Linkscape API for Moz what pages were 404'd and how many links they were, and it would auto-generate an htaccess file for you. And we had a duplicate content tool where you'd put in your site and would check for a bunch of common canonicalization errors. And what we noticed over time was that this was a really good way to attract customers. Well, fast forward to Google starts having some much more sophisticated releases. Let's say Penguin and Panda in particular are probably the two biggest. And in releasing these, we knew that there wasn't going to be some simple solution to the problem. It was far more complex. These were machine learned algorithms, and we needed to approach them on behalf of our clients, that is to say, more fully. And that's really where these tools came from. So Penguin Analysis, we built in order to determine the amount of risk our customers currently had, because as an agency, we did a great deal of link building. And so we built a training set of sites we knew had been penalized by Penguin, and a machine learning model to predict what the likelihood is that your site would fall into that pack of sites that are penalized. And once we realized this was useful for our customers, and we had invested so much money into it, it made a lot more sense to just go ahead and slap a WordPress website on the front of it and sell it. The same thing. Go ahead.
Well, so in that case, it was, the motivation was more around recouping costs, or because you were just like, oh, it's awesome, now we have a product all of a sudden. Let's go that direction.
A little bit of both, but pretty much all of our tools we targeted towards lead gen. So Penguin, for example, Penguin Analysis, I believe is what we called it, and then it was Panda Risk. So Penguin Analysis only cost 99 cents to run. The goal was to get as many people to run it as possible and see what their risk was. And then there were options to immediately fill out a lead gen form to get assistance with fixing your problems. So the same thing was true with Panda. So Panda Risk was a little bit different. It actually did use manual labor. It hooked up automatically with Mechanical Turk, which is Amazon's distributed workforce, where people can be paid anywhere from a nickel to $100, whatever it costs to do various tasks. But we would take a customer's website and send it to hundreds of these reviewers and ask them questions like, is this page authoritative? Is this page trustful, et cetera? And then compare it to what the average Wikipedia page scored when we ran the same analysis. And once again, we priced it low. I believe that one was probably $40 or $50, which is higher, but that barely covered the cost of all of the reviews that we were paying for. But ultimately what happened is that customers would get back a report. They would find out that they were missing out on content thoroughness, or they're missing out on authoritative metrics or something of that sort. And that would lead to a consultation relationship. And
I get that you used it for lead gen, and that's why you were kind of charging very little for it. And even when you had Panda Risk, you were charging more for it, but you were still actually kind of operating almost at cost, is what it sounds like. What I'm wondering is, was there a point where you were getting these leads and you were getting this business, but it really wasn't covering basically the revenue loss, from the resources being spent on it? I mean, was there ever a point where it was a struggle to either do client work or to put the resources and effort into maintenance and growth and marketing of the product?
Yeah, that's a great question. And every agency that does this is going to have to choose how to answer it. And to be honest, our solution was to offer very little support and to really not put any money into marketing or growth of the product itself, at least for those two. The same could also be said for Outreach App and to maybe a lesser degree Entopic, which were just other products that we launched at a variety of different times. And that's just the hard decision that you have to make. And in each one of those cases, we've kind of felt like this was an ephemeral opportunity. Like, Panda isn't going to be around forever, or at least people aren't going to be freaking out about it forever. And Penguin isn't going to be around forever. People aren't going to be freaking out about it forever. So we didn't see this as businesses that could succeed 5-10 years from now. So for those ones, we really didn't invest in very much. Now, there was one outlier, and it's the one that's still going, and that's Remove'em. So after Penguin and a series of other Google updates, including just blanket penalty statements being sent via Google Webmaster Tools at the time, Google Search Console now, it seemed to us that link removal was here to stay. And because of that, we essentially repurposed our own internal link building tool, which did outreach for placing links, into a tool that did outreach for removing links. And that tool, we actually did put some money behind marketing. We started going to conferences. And in the same way, at the end of the day, we ended up making a lot more money off of consultation, off of Remove'em, than we did off of self-service. So ultimately what happened is people would use the tool and they would get to the point where they have to send out, 1,000 emails to get all of these terrible spammy links removed. And they would give up. And at that point, they knew they had to remove them, We had already scored the links showing that they were dangerous, and they didn't have many other options, except there was a full service option where they could contact us and we would remove the links for them. And that actually spurned on a really big part of our business for many, many years. So it was very fruitful to the agency at that point.
So it's really interesting because I've talked to different people and they all have had fairly different takes on sort of why they were doing it. The struggles seem to be pretty similar, but in one case, the objective was to actually create a product and stop doing agency work. In another case, the goal was to do something at an enterprise level, which really meant continue doing enterprise work, and enterprise to me means very high touch. You know, you were talking about we're barely going to do any support. So in your case though, I think it's really interesting because it actually, all the things that you did were to essentially reinforce and promote and build the agency itself. In other words, it wasn't that, so with Raven, it was one of those things where we decided that when we could financially and, you know, revenue wise, we would actually peel off from agency, not peel off, but literally stop doing it and just do 100% software. And we had our reasons for that. But in your case, it was more of, this is a great way to get new business. It also is a nice revenue maker, but we're not going to be strictly a software company. We're gonna make things that solve problems for us and our clients right now. We're going to make those available to other people if we think we can actually get new customers through it. But we're not getting out of the agency consultancy business.
Yeah, we had a really interesting perspective sort of forced upon us. But I think ultimately it was good, which was that the owner of our company, Ryan Ellis, was the CEO of iContact, which was a very large software as a service email marketing tool, which ultimately exited. We saw the culture at iContact compared to the culture that we had at Verante, and the leadership of the company, myself included, very much made conscious decisions regularly to not become that. And it's not to say that iContact had poor culture relative to other software as a service companies. I think it was perfectly fine, but it didn't feel like family. And we really had this nice niche boutique thing going. Link building was, except for maybe the 3 or 4 months after any big Google penalization, link building was always a healthy, steady income stream for us. So we didn't feel like we needed a software exit. And then the other big issue that was always facing us was that the company was owned by an individual whose time and energy was spent at a completely different company. So things like looking for capital or venture capital to market a product, trying to get additional credit to market a product were just not available to us. So for the most part, we recognized that unless we came up with something truly miraculous, that these tools were going to have a limited shelf life. And so we did our best to use them in service of the agency rather than try and grow them in the way that you would see a traditional software tool these days.
I think that's really interesting, the level of realism that you had, because again, the one similarity that I've had with people I've talked to, and it's also similar to what I did with Raven, was we were bootstrapped. We were technically bootstrapped. And And what I've gotten out of all the conversations, including what you just said, is that essentially everybody I've talked to has said, if you really are serious about doing a product and doing and really making it into sort of its own thing, then you better go ahead and commit everything to it. I mean, like, you've got to focus on it. You're going to have to put all whatever revenue you can into it. And it's not guaranteed to still work. And, you know, but the only way it will work is if you focus on that and put your resources towards
absolutely.
It. And
absolutely. What
you, yeah. And what you recognize, you and your, you know, I don't know, co-founders, coworkers, kind of recognized was that's not an option on the table. I mean, it's, you know, and so because of that, it sounds like even the things that you chose to work on and do, you, as you said, you knew they weren't going to be long-term things. So it's sort of like, you know what, it sounds like the formula was, this is something that's hot right now. This is something we can build right now. This is something that won't take a ridiculous amount of money to pull off. And I think we can get a lot of attention from it. And then I think we can also, even more importantly, get a lot of leads and new business from it. I mean, it sounds like that was sort of your objective, because you knew the alternative was you're going to have to pour everything into said product to make it really, you know, last long and grow, or you would need VC funding.
Yeah, absolutely. That was really early. It seemed to be the only way to go. Like that, if we didn't have funding, we wouldn't be able to beat out potential competitors. And we did flirt at one point with splitting RemoveEmOff when it was at its strongest. But even then, we recognized that the cost of, at that point, you know, RemoveEm would have to hire its own CEO or its own leadership team, and at that point, that profitability drops again. So it did ultimately make a lot more sense for us to keep these as lead gen opportunities as much as possible. And I think that it really did work for us. Some of our best publicity came through these tools. For example, if you want to go to a conference, it's pretty hard to distinguish yourself as just being an agency. What are you going to put up to impress individuals in an expo if you don't have tools or something just interesting and quick in a quick selling point? So it gave us a much better, much stronger selling point when we were at conferences. And on top of that, whenever you release software, you get attention. For example, I was able to write a lot about Penguin on the Moz blog. This was before I was at Moz, using data that we pulled out of Penguin analysis. And there are all these cool graphs, and it became an opportunity to show us off that we otherwise would not have had. If we had contacted Moz and said, we want to write a blog post about Penguin, we're an agency, versus write about Penguin, we've written a machine learning model that can predict with 90 something odd percent accuracy the likelihood that a site will be hit with Penguin, you could get two very different results. So it did prove to be very useful for us, especially on the free marketing side.
So I have one last question, and that is, if there's an agency out there who is considering kind of jumping into making a product, what would be your advice to them, you know, as far as things to consider, things to not do?
Yeah, those are all really good questions. Because there are a lot of lessons learned. I at one point wrote that my greatest disappointment has been the lack of success of Entopic, which is probably the first tool that I wrote. It's incredibly useful, but We marketed it poorly. We named it poorly. We just got everything wrong about it, except for the functionality. So what I would say is that understand your competitors in the market are far more mature now than they were 5, 10, 15 years ago. They have strategy. They have capital. They have top engineers. And because of that, whatever it is that you produce, you need to be really confident about, or you need to make sure that it can earn you money without being a successful product standalone. So if the product is something that you can turn around and sell to your customers right now and make extra bucks off and cover the cost, then by all means, go for it. But if you're not really confident about the tool, and you're not certain that this is something that your the biggest SaaS players out there can't copy really quickly, you really need to be, and I don't want to be a buzzkill, but you really need to be cautious, just because the software game it's very difficult. It's really difficult. It's much more difficult than agency life, in my opinion.
That is both sage and sober advice.
It's surprising because I always felt like agencies were hyper competitive because they're just everywhere. But it's actually pretty easy to distinguish yourself in a phone call with a potential client as being better than the majority of agencies out there by just knowing your shit. But software, unless you got a patent, somebody can copy it tomorrow. And that's exactly what happens in our industry every day. So the likelihood of launching a really successful product at this point is it's rare. And, if you want to go for it, go for it. But if you're like me and you got a family and you want to make sure that there's bread on the table, then you should probably stick with what you know and just use software to enhance it.